This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Arike on hold. Arike, step back for the lead. Got it!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of North Collins if you want to come see us. And right now, sitting at the table with us at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Dallas Wings Executive Vice President and GM Kurt Miller. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know technically Buffalo Wild Wings is only supposed to open at 11, but does it feel like we can pack in the people already?
They're coming in.
Yeah, we have filled it up. So we were talking off air. We have a big charity show on Wednesday called Peace-a-thon. And the last couple of years, including this year, you guys have been really nice and given us a four-pack of lower bowl tickets, which obviously I know are hotter than ever. But we always want to raise as much money as conceivably possible.
Because last year we hit $80,000.
And this year we're shooting for $100,000. So if you sit back and think about any amazing ideas to add to our wings package that could help us raise even more money, I just think that would be tremendous.
Well, you know, season tickets sold out. Fastest ever. So tickets are a hot commodity and could corral a nice dime out there.
I'm looking forward to that.
He is pretty relentless in his asks. He's always
I'm
one of my favorite things about him.
Now, obviously, you've been here just a few weeks, and things have been moving very quickly. What brought you to Dallas? I know you have experience in this league for a long time. What brought you to Dallas? And obviously, tell us about your first couple weeks, because it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, I think today might be the start of my third week, or just over 2 weeks now. So it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, spent 34 years in women's basketball, 24 at the Division I level, last 10 in the WNBA. And when I was let go in L.A., a few weeks ago, I thought maybe I'd take the year off. And then the phone calls started coming in around the league, not only for head coaching jobs again, but GM jobs. And as most people that have followed the career, I was the dual hat in Connecticut in the WNBA for a long time, that both the GM and the head coach. But all the conversations kept coming back to Dallas, and the shared enthusiasm, the shared vision of where this franchise is going, with two new facilities, a practice facility, a renovated downtown Dallas arena. It is a really exciting time, an energized fan base. Obviously, the recent unveiling of the draft lottery to get the number one pick, there's just been so much excitement brewing for Dallas that everything kept coming back to Dallas. So a really exciting opportunity to join the front office and run the basketball operations side. Will always be a pit in my stomach. We'll leave in the sidelines.
Sure.
But I've really enjoyed. I'm ironically the second longest tenured GM in the league. So I missed it the last few years of not being the GM in Los Angeles. So really excited back, because roster construction is so close to my heart and so important in building a team that can make a run at a championship.
Hopefully, even more important than that, once you hire a head coach, you won't have to do as much media. How excited are you going to be about that?
Exactly. It's going to be fun to be the supportive behind-the-scenes role, not always the forward, front-facing person like the head coach. The search is going tremendous. It's a global search. There's WNBA people that are interested. There's NBA people that are interested more than ever. The collegiate game, the collegiate game with the tough transfer portal, the NIL battles that are going on right now. More and more college coaches are looking to make the jump to the WNBA. So the coaching search has been is off and running. I'm having a lot of fun with it and look forward to naming the future head coach soon.
I've always been very curious about that. Is it a lot of network is the way that that happens? Do they go to monster.com and they're like, this is the one that I want?
Does that site still exist?
I don't know. Indeed. Or like, how does that kind of come about? Or are they picking up the phone calling you guys?
Yeah, I think it's a little of everything. Obviously, agents are majorly involved, that protection of head coaches that have current jobs. Assistants, more and more assistants have agents that reach out, but it's a lot of communication, sometimes very upfront, sometimes through, you know, second and third parties, but the word gets out when they want it to that they're interested in the job. And why wouldn't you be with Enrique and now the number one pick, forming that core group of who will play, you know, surrounded by just a really exciting time to hire a new head coach and build something very special.
Is it weird that you have to keep saying the number one pick and you have to stop yourself from saying Paige Beckers?
Yeah, we can't say.
Sure. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows.
But you know, certainly an exciting day when you saw that ping pong ball go the right way for us.
On that front, having that number one overall pick, there's still a lot of scouting that goes into that. And I'm always curious on what things you see on tape, you get to see them on court. What things do you dive into off court to find out the fit of a person on that team?
Yeah, I think it's obviously on court, you know, talent is so important, but championship teams in women's basketball are one in the locker room and how important culture is. Culture in all pro sports is so important, but in women's basketball in particular, the best teams have great culture in the locker room. So you're evaluating not on-court talent, sometimes with a pick as high as one or a lottery pick, it may be the obvious, the talent's obvious, but you're also still, you know, looking into investigating, having interviews, talking about what these type of leaders and players are on and off the court and not just their talent, but exciting times. I know I'm really excited to be with you today, but on my short drive over here from the office, at least four GMs I've missed calls with. We have the expansion draft here very shortly. Obviously, we now have the number one pick. So as you can imagine, my phone is ringing quite
often. We're very good negotiators. Uh-huh. If I need any help along the way.
Kevin and I both we started as high school beat reporters. Like, that was what we did in the DFW area, and we were covering high school girls basketball and boys basketball and everything. We got to see really fun girls basketball around here. What drew you to the women's side of basketball? Because this past season was electric. It was an absolute blast. I'm glad more people are starting to see that version of it.
Yeah, it's been such a great product. You know, my role model growing up was I had an older sister who was a tremendous athlete, a little rugrat, 5'2 point guard that was able to go before it was really popular, D1. So I had a great appreciation for girls basketball and women's basketball from an early age. The ironic story for me was I was a senior in high school preparing for my own basketball season. I came from a little tiny school district in western Pennsylvania. In our school district at that time, you had to be a teacher in order to be a coach. Yes. No one wanted to coach the 7th and 8th grade girls team. My high school coach knew I wanted to coach down the line. They asked, hey, I know you're only 4 years older than these guys. You're a senior, but you're not playing a fall sport this year in preparation of your own season. Will you coach the 7th and 8th grade girls team? So I did as a senior in high school in our little district back in western Pennsylvania, and I was hooked ever since then. Very fortunate, 35 years later, I'm still in women's basketball, you know, been at the highest levels of D1 and obviously now the last decade in the pros. I've been very, very blessed at the right place at the right time and really have enjoyed my career around women's basketball.
I know it's probably come up a lot, but I'm kind of curious the dynamics of the Caitlin Clark effect in terms of not just the popularity, but like, some people seem to have really embraced it in the league because they're like, hey, more eyeballs can be more money for all of us. Whereas there also seems to be some pushback from players or execs that have like, you know, we've had a good product for a lot of years. Like, it didn't just start being good. What is your breakdown of that kind of dynamic?
Yeah, I think two things can be true. I'm a big, big advocate that our product's always been great.
Yeah.
I'm bullish on the fact that when we get people into the arenas, when we get people watching on TV, that women's basketball can hook you. And that was the challenge.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get more and more new eyeballs, new faces on our game. So I've always been bullish that our product's been good. But I also really, really thank this draft class that just came into the WNBA, the explosion at the collegiate level, in large part to Caitlin and Angel Reese, and the
and
excitement
Paige.
Around
yeah,
and Paige,
yeah.
Juju,
and the,
yeah.
the excitement around women's basketball is at an all-time high. It is now taking those college fans into the pro game with Caitlin coming in, with Angel coming in, that draft class. I had two in Connecticut, and Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson. And so it's really fun, all the eyeballs that are on our game, and it's amazing. My DMs are typically open. This year has been absolutely crazy. You know, the people that follow you, but it kind of motivates you with all the hate and the stuff that you get. But, you know, those are good growth things for our game as long as it doesn't get nasty. It's just really exciting with the amount of viewership that we have on women's basketball right now.
How difficult is that? Because I know every player, coach, everybody will be like, tune it out, tune it out. How much more difficult is that said or to actually do as opposed to just say? Like, to just actually be like, I'm not going to let any of that bother me.
Yeah, I think you have to really protect your players' mental health and also, you know, what's going on. I could speak to it because it was my toughest season ever as a head coach. We were decimated by injuries, just did not have a good season record-wise in L.A. And the DMs that I would get on a daily basis, ironically to me, one of the other avenues is most of my nasty DMs that would come to me directly after games, you could all kind of point back to how many people are betting on women's basketball now.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you took that player out with 4 minutes to go in the game. She needed one more rebound. You cost me $600.
Yeah.
Or the next time, you know, you cost me $500 because, you know, like you took this person out or didn't play in minutes. And so it is amazing the amount of hate I got, but when you really read what the hate was, it's because how many people are actually betting on women's basketball right now.
Putting aside, obviously, all of the WNBA rules this would violate, if any of those people would have fronted you some money because you helped them cover one of their over-unders, then would you have been more receptive to their follow-up DM?
I refuse to answer
that
question.
Okay, that's probably smart.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you envision for this roster specifically and these women that are on here right now and whatever pick you add to it, how that kind of might fit in, but this team specifically, how have you gotten to know them and you pick a couple things, or do you try and clean slate things? I'm kind of curious on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And first and foremost, I think it's the partnership that goes along with the head coach. You know, I have to hire the head coach, and then we are aligned. I look at the head coach as the chef, and I'm going to try to help get the ingredients that he wants to cook with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I put together the team and then ask him to coach players that maybe don't fit his system, you're fighting yourself. So there's going to be a head coaching search, and when that hire is made, a real alignment between the two of us that I'm really supportive and really helpful to get the head coach the players that they can be successful. Now, with that said, there's some non-negotiables. I believe in culture. I believe in culture creator players. I believe in unselfish players in the locker room. There's got to be a competitiveness amongst the players that we put on our roster, a true desire to get better. It's a grind. The WNBA's cadence of games with nearly three games a week is not easy in this league. Fortunately, we now have charter travel, but it's not an easy cadence, so you have to get competitive players. You have to get players that have a desire to get better and prepare each and every day. Those are some of the non-negotiables, but mainly I'm going to be partnering with the head coach and what type of players they want and they think they can be successful with.
How tough is it to figure out that culture competitiveness vibe? Because I don't imagine when you're talking with players, they're like, yeah, I've kind of been described as a cancer, or like, I'm not really coachable. Like, I understand that that's the job. Like, how long does that take to kind of watch and see and be like, okay, I see it, or
yeah,
I don't see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, again, you're right. You know, but we've done this for so long that you have an innate ability. Well, you know, like, there's one thing about going to games, you know, and watching game after game. I'm a big person to go into games in person. But I love going to practices. I think it tells you even more about players. You actually interact with coaches more on practice days than game days. And you can really watch them interact with their teammates. You can watch their work ethic. You can watch, you know, their demeanor. So, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into being a GM and talent evaluation, and then obviously talent acquisition. But to me, there's no substitute of hard work, and it's not just game night or turning into ESPN on 7 o'clock every night. You know, you got to go do the work and go watch these players, talk to people in their circles, talk to coaches.
One of our old producers, his name is Reggie. He's down in Houston now hosting his own show. But he always uses the term, and I always love this, the ball has energy. And when the ball's moving around, everybody kind of gets that. They get more into the game. Let's say you have a very talented point guard who really likes to have the ball a lot, and then every once in a while will take a wild step back three, mm-hmm. and then maybe that's he's not getting everybody else, or she's not getting everybody else involved in the game.
He knows who you're talking about.
Do you think that can win? Or like, how important is, seriously though, the ball moving around and being part of the assets to the team?
Yeah, I think there's a combination.
This
where
is a hoops question.
You gotta put your best players in position to be successful. You got to get the ball to your best players. At the same time, in women's basketball, the ball moves side to side. There's not as much isolation in the WNBA as there is in the NBA. You know, the great devil in the women's game is there's very few players that can create their own shot each and every possession. But players that can create their own shots have a tendency to be given a green light or take some bad shots.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line between you know, being an efficient basketball team and allowing some of your players that have really, really unique gifts some freedom to take some tough shots. You know, the better players get to take some tough shots. But basketball is about efficiency and the ball moving, and the ball finds energy, absolutely, is all part of it. But, you know, again, I can't wait to partner with a head coach and watch them get to work on this kind of stuff.
Do you, with that being the next key step, do we have a general timeline or hopeful timeline for when that will go
right
down?
Now?
I mean, that'd be great. Yeah. But if do you have a general timeline for Len, like, we really want this to be locked in by whatever day?
Yeah, you know, I think that my goal is obviously to be thorough. There was a great commitment to getting the GM hired here in Dallas, which ended up being me, to allow them to run the search, because the partnership between the GM and head coach is so important. So, you know, some of the other jobs around the league that were open before us, their searches are either finalized or are farther along. But I love where the process is at. I love the interest. My goal, obviously, with free agency ramping up in January, the expansion draft just around the corner, the sooner the better. But we'll have a coach hired well before the new year. But, again, I'm going to continue to be thorough until we land on the person that is the right fit for us to chase championships in Dallas.
And for people that want to follow or buy tickets, just hit the website? Would that be the recommendation?
Yeah.
I know you said tickets are selling out, though, so we better move on that.
Absolutely. Get in line in that waiting list, and then, you know, single-sale game tickets will be available, and those walk-up opportunities will be there. Schedule, not far away from being released by the WNBA. It will be here before you know it, and then that will create even more excitement when you can physically see, you know, who's coming to Dallas, when they're coming to Dallas. Will generate another wave of interest for us here in the near future.
Outstanding, Kurt. Thank you very much for not only being on the show with us, but coming up. I know it's like a whole mile from your facility, but still, but for coming up to...
You know, I was warned about trains. I don't even know where the trains are, but I was warned.
Yeah, sometimes we don't either. Yeah,
that's direction. Very true. Yeah, yeah.